Oh God, we repent for our sin, and we turn to you, oh outright sin. Forgive us for complacency, Lord. Laziness. For turning to things other than you, Lord. Each of us knows in our heart what that is. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. And cleanse us of our idolatry, Lord. As a word, scripture, please see Pastor Casey, and she'll release you.
Let me use
Sometimes I said to this person, you know, we read the word, we learn the principles, but until the situation hits the fan, that's when our faith has to kick in and we have to fight. We have to stand. It's not that we don't trust God. It's just that we have that in us for when the situation hits. You know what I'm saying? But it's not going to just happen. We have to fight and contend for it. Lord, we will stand. We'll stand on your word, Lord. We'll fight. We'll see it through to the end, Father. Jesus. your word endures forever. Lord, break every chain, Lord, break every chain, Lord, break every chain, Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, Lord, break every chain.
Lord's given us weapons that came out of his victory on the cross that we take for granted. We don't apply his blood to our lives daily. We don't apply his word to our lives daily. We don't apply his praise to our lives daily. And we don't honor him with giving. Those are four weapons that you have to defeat the enemies that rage against you. We take lightly praise because we think we have to sing. But we can just tell him throughout the day how great he is. We can quote his word back to him and praise him with his word. We can war with his word by speaking it over situations and circumstances. We can war with his blood by applying it to the issues of our lives. We can war with the promise that he's given us whenever he calls us to give. So if he's called you to give tonight, when you come to take communion, honor him with your gift. It's not about what you give. It's about the fact that you choose to honor him. It's about the fact that you believe that he has given you weapons that are not carnal. Man cannot explain how the kingdom of God works. Science cannot understand it. Mathematics cannot put it into an equation. The equation is this: God loved you so very much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that one drop of his blood would defeat every enemy. In this month of Av, there's things that are opposing you from the promise. We are on the verge of breakthroughs. We're on the verge of breakthroughs locally, statewide, nationally, and globally. The Lord is doing something. Moms understand this. Guys, it's time to push. It's time to make sure that what the Lord wants to do is not stillbirthed. See, Jesus had a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have allowed the kingdom to be stillbirthed. He could have walked away. But he chose to take the cup that Father chose for him. He chose to take my place in yours for our sin nature, so that no longer could you be accused without silencing the accuser. No longer could you be attacked without defeating the accuser. No longer could you be slandered without defeating and closing the mouth of the slanderer. When the Pharisee Saul ran into Jesus on the road, he gave his heart to God, and he became the Apostle Paul. He didn't really change his name. We changed it for him. He was still Saul. But he told us after the revelation of Jesus Christ that he made a public spectacle over every enemy through the cross. Tonight, as you come to take the elements, take up the weapons of your warfare. Jesus died so that we can use them. His word, his name, his blood, and praise. And by the way, you defeat poverty by giving. He gave us all those things, and Father said that he was the ultimate giver. Tonight is a night of deliverance. Tonight is a night of freedom. Tonight, we're going to address principalities and powers. Tonight, we walk in Jesus' name. Rob, could you help me, please?
Oh, as you take the elements tonight, I want you to think of a chain, a real strong chain link. And I want you to see the Lord breaking the chain, link by link, and giving each one of us freedom tonight. Picture it in your mind. Picture yourself walking free. So, Lord, we take these elements tonight as a gift from you of the new covenant that we have. We take these and thank you for breaking chains of our lives, for setting us free, for giving us authority, your authority and your strength. And we will always be thankful in Jesus' name.
I've had this picture, and part of it was from Al, part of it was from what we sang, and part of it was just confirmed by what Pastor Rob said. And I saw this cliff, and all of a sudden it just ended, and we were kind of hanging out in space, you know, like you step off a cliff, except that the Word of God is the path across that empty place. And the chains that were on us were pulling at us, trying to pull us off that pathway right down into that ravine. Because if we're left dangling on the side without the ability to get up, then we're out of God's timing and we're out of God's place. But God, in His great mercy, has the ability to put us back up on that path. And that path takes us wherever His Word chooses to go. And if we stay on that path, then we can stay in His purpose and in His time and in His destiny and reach the other side of what looks like, in the natural, it may look like we're hanging out in the midair. But if we're standing on the Word of God, we're standing on a better path than the biggest bridge that we've got. If someone has a word or something, come on up and see Pastor Al. Tonight, I came here to defend something that I thought was very important and that I thought God was showing me I should tell you. And that was that I had been very involved in the esoteric. I did good things with them. And I thought today that God had given me a reason for that to be okay. I used to use the light to put around myself and people, help them. But as I sang, as we sang, I realized that that's not what God wanted me to do, because I was seeking to hang on to something that I had used before that I thought was good. But you know what? As we sang those words, and God broke the chains. I felt them fall away.
Hallelujah.
I felt them fall away, and there was this wonderful freedom. So sing praises with me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Calling forth 100 couples. calling forth a building special for your use. Calling forth Don. Calling forth Ron. Calling forth Amanda. Calling forth Cheryl. Calling forth good health to those who have a need. Calling forth finances where there's a need. Calling forth.
For the Lord would say, I have taken you to a place of promotion, and only those who will allow me to remove the shackles of the systems of the past will be able to ascend to my presence to walk, and the level of authority in which you will carry the mantle of my presence and the anointing of my word. For I have given you the authority to speak my word like a hammer, to break the oppressive forces that have held the harvest captive. I have given you the authority of my word to declare and to decree things which are not as though they are, and to bring the miraculous into the earth realm. Know that I have given you the authority of my word and my blood to defeat every obstacle of darkness that would lie and would slander and would attempt to condemn you and the body. Know that I have called you to a place of promotion that I may elevate you into my presence. And in my presence, I will mantle you with mantles of grace and mantles of mercy, that they would triumph over every form of judgment that is assailed against you. Know that I have called you to a place of promotion where you will walk in the power and the liberty of my name. And I will allow you to know what it is that my name is applicable in each situation and circumstance that you face. For I have given you my name as a signet ring, and you may speak it, and you may apply it, and you may write it, and you may decree it. Know that I have called you by name, and I have given you my name, and I call you tonight to the place of promotion. I call you to the place where you are seated with me, and you see as I see, and you hear as I hear, and you speak the things that I give you. Know that I have called you to the place where you will control your tongue, and you will speak the word that I give you, and that word will break the yoke of affliction, it will break the yoke of oppression, and it will break the dam that has been holding back my heart, says the Lord. I know that I said I was going to do the second part in the series, but right after I said that, I left town again, and the Lord told me to change my message. We're in the month of Ab, 5773. In a year in which giants are particularly important, we're in the month in which we have to confront giants, both individually and corporately. That's what we did in worship tonight. So the message that I'm going to give you tonight is one that I did 27 years ago. And I told Lisa, I've been speaking this around the world the last 4 months. And I told Lisa when she said that the men of this house are under attack. Men, how many of you are under attack? Hey, let's be honest. Every one of us is under attack. It's not just Don and Ron. It's not just Lou. It's not just Rob. It's not just Mike in the shepherd's house. The enemy is trying to take out the men of this house. So here's our scripture for tonight, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. As we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting boldly, "These men are the servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, "I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And at that moment it came out. Lord, I ask that you would show us the path to your victory, that you would show us the things that are hindering your harvest in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our congregation, and in this region. Lord, that you would show us the things that claim to be speaking in your name, and you would show us the authority of your blood, your word, praise, and giving, that we would break every one of their holds. Lord, we thank you that you have given us these weapons, that our warfare would not be against the flesh, but against everything that riles itself against you. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk with you about a principality called the Spirit of Python. In verse 16 of Acts 16, we see spirit of divination, but the Greek words that are used there is puthun pneuma, literally pythonic spirit. That's a literal translation of puthun pneuma. Puthun comes from the Greek word putho, which is the name of a region near Delphi. And there was a famous oracle that was located there. Puthun means the python when you translate the Greek. And by analogy, it's the supposed diviner in putho. The python is interpreted to mean aspiration or inspiration by soothsaying, which is what we know as divination. It was amazing that the Lord showed our sister tonight that that has to be put aside. See, he's given us gifts that are much purer and more powerful than all of the counterfeits that the enemy has. And if we're willing to lay aside the things that we picked up on our walk in the world and take up the gifts of his spirit, we'll be able to conquer the enemy of our soul. In Greek mythology, Python was the son of Gaia. Python was an enormous serpent which was produced from the mud after the flood of Deucalion. So this is Greek mythology where they think this spirit came from. Python lived in a cave in Mount Peneus, and it was slain a few days after its birth by Apollo. Python really represents the fogs and vapors, the clouds which arise from the ponds and marshes and are dispersed by Apollo with his shafts or the rays of the sun. So that's Greek mythology. That's what they say about Python. See, we need to know what the enemy says because the dark side gets their power from what they speak. Where's your power come from? Speaking the word of the Lord. That's why we're commanded to control our tongue. In spiritual warfare, we see that Satan has ordered his minions according to their power or rank. Just like an army has privates and corporals and sergeants and lieutenants and captains and majors and so forth, all the way up to generals. Satan has his troops ordered from the lowly demons that torment us to the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of this present age that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. They represent the four levels of spiritual warfare. The lowest level is deliverance. It's personal level warfare. The next level is occult level warfare. It's coming against organized evil. The next level is strategic level warfare. It's where we war against regional principalities. And the next level is the corporate seat of worship, governmental warfare against rulers of wickedness in heavenly places. In all of our spiritual battles, you will not be able to walk in continual breakthrough and victory in your life until you get to the commander that's been sent against you. We don't want to keep bumping into the privates and the sergeants. We want to attack those things that have been given place either through our sins or the sins of our forefathers, through the sins of our nation, through the sins of our generation. That's why it's so important that we worship. It's so important that we speak the word of God everywhere we walk. See, you can have momentary release and temporary peace from the oppression of the enemy, but he'll come back. He'll rise up again to hinder your walk, to steal, kill, and destroy if you allow him to. He comes to steal your peace. He comes to kill your joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he comes to destroy your testimony because you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. If he's destroyed your testimony, he knows that he can walk in authority over you. But I got good news for you. The blood of Jesus always defeats the enemy when we run back to the cross. See, we need to break the hold of the powers that are over us. We like to think, oh, this is just all poppycock. This is just, oh, look, I'm a scientist. I can tell you every reason why I shouldn't believe the Bible. And I can tell you the one reason why I should. Because it's the Word of God. I should believe what science tells me, not. I should do what the Bible tells me. And too many of us are swayed by what we see on TV, what we hear on the radio, what we read in the newspapers, and we give in. I got news for you. Jesus has not given in. He is coming back for an overcoming bride that has put the devil in his place. He's not coming back for a church that's given the keys to the kingdom to the enemy. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. When we break those powers over us, we get to see the King of Glory. More importantly, we have to maintain the liberty of Christ in our lives, as well as possess by intercession the spiritual warfare in the heavenlies around us. If he's called you to be in a schoolroom, then that's your heavenlies. If he's called you to be in the halls of government, that's your heavenlies. If he's called you to ride on the bus and speak his word, then that's your heavenlies. Wherever he's called you to be, that's your heavenlies. Last week he called me to be in Malaysia at the invitation of an apostolic leadership there, and we launched a new apostolic center. We came up against some of these issues. We came up against regional religious spirits, which they've been battling. They've now got to keep in check what was broken off of them last week. The spirit of Python works in the lives of individuals. It works in homes. It works in marriages. It works in churches. It works in businesses. It works in states. And it works in nations. The spirit of Python represents a demonic spirit of great rank or authority in the kingdom of darkness. I'm telling you this because you'll see in a minute this is what is attacking this body and the church in this region. When it appears as though you're beginning to move in a good work that God has called you to do and suddenly all hell breaks loose against you with division, with strife, with jealousy, with envy, with illness, with infirmity, and you begin to break apart, and it looks as though you're going to have to start all over again, there may be a spirit of Python that's at work against you and what you're trying to do for God. So let's look at how a spirit of Python works. In Acts 16:16, it says that they were on their way to the place of prayer. Let's be honest. How many of you have had difficulty in getting to your place of prayer? I have, especially when I'm on an airplane for 38 hours. It's hard to get to a secret place. Do you know what the tyranny of the urgent is? It's the pile of laundry over there that says, oh, I'm 6 weeks old. It's the telephone that's ringing. It's the pot that's boiling on the stove. It's the baby that's fussing. None of those things are important. That's the tyranny of the urgent. It has to have your attention. That's how the enemy works. Oh, look, there's a forest fire out in Colorado. I can't pray today. Well, maybe he wants you to pray for rain for Colorado. Many of you did, and guess what? It rained on the forest fires. See, the enemy wants to take you off what God has called you to do with the tyranny of the urgent. See, pythons hang motionless in trees. They just hang, and they look like vines draped off of branches. You can go on the internet and see all this stuff now. When I did this 27 years ago, there was no internet. You had to look it up in encyclopedias and look at a picture. They look like the trunk of a tree, or they'll lie in water where animals come, and they look like they're just going into the water, and all of a sudden this huge creature comes up and catches their victims unaware. They pounce on their victims, which are instantly enveloped in the folds of mighty muscles. A python doesn't bite its prey. It doesn't poison its prey. They slowly squeeze the life out of their prey. Every time you inhale, they squeeze tighter. Every time you take a breath and you let it go, all of a sudden your body's a little bit smaller and they just tighten it up. And then they take their mouth and, beginning with your head, they swallow you whole. Sometimes it takes weeks for them to kill their prey. Do you see the spiritual battle? See, the enemy's not going to come right up in your face with a pitchfork and a long red tail and say, "I'm here to defeat you." He's going to come in out of a tree, a place that's familiar to you, and try to squeeze you slowly. In Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7, we see that the serpent didn't bite Adam and Eve. It seduced Adam and Eve into rebelling against God. See, when a spirit of python is working, there will be weariness, tiredness, discouragement, frustration, and confusion. There'll be a lack of knowing who is right and who is wrong. There will be a questioning of many things. There'll be uncertainty and wondering about which part of the work you should be involved with. See, that's a problem when people go from church to church to church and they don't establish roots in a local body. The spirit of python is working, and you can't seem to get breakthrough because you don't know where you're rooted, and it just slowly squeezes the life out of you. That's what a lot of the church in America, in the Western world, is doing now. How many of you have been discouraged and frustrated lately? Do you see how it works? See, God gave us a promise. I so appreciate what Pauline did with that mustard seed of faith in the push. Here's the prophetic promises that the Lord gave this body. And if we keep our focus on the word of the Lord and the prophetic word of the Lord, we defeat this spirit every time. Because Paul told us, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. How many of you know that after you've been shipwrecked, you've been beaten with 39 stripes a couple of times, you've been stoned twice, you've been raised from the dead at least once, you might have a reason not to rejoice? But he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. See, worship will always defeat anything, including Satan himself. That's why he tries to steal our worship. See, the spirit of python will work against an individual, a home, a church, or even a business, or anything that you have committed to the glory of the Lord. It's almost as though you said, this is yours, God. And you've made it a target. See, most of us don't guard that thing with intercession. Most of us don't continually give it to God with worship and praise and thanksgiving. Most of us don't quote the word of the Lord over our marriages and our families. Let me tell you how simple I am. He said, whatever you give to me, I will bless. He said that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I was a baby in Christ decades ago, I heard an international evangelist who happened to be a gifted singer, and she said, I even give thanks when I go to the bathroom. Thanking him that everything he made is working the way he made it. And she stays healthy. Maybe there's a clue in that, that when we thank him for the things we take for granted, we will no longer take them for granted. Because the enemy doesn't take anything for granted. He just takes. The questioning of many things and uncertainty and wondering about what part of a work you should be involved with always accompanies a spirit of Python. When the spirit of Python is working, you can't seem to get a breakthrough. The church here, regionally, and nationally is on the verge of a breakthrough. Don't believe the press, because they're not quoting heaven. Don't believe the White House. Don't believe the Congress. Don't believe Albany. By all means, don't believe Albany. If it's not in the Word of God, it's not God. If it's counter to the Word of God, it's probably not God. I've never known him to contradict himself. I'm only 60 years old, but I've never known him to contradict himself. The spirit of Python will work in anything that you give to God, because from the beginning, he's tried to steal from God. See, this ruling spirit will come to squeeze people out. Moving to Saturday nights was a difficult decision. But when it came to being and everyone said, yeah, we'll do Saturday night, 30% of us decided we didn't. Now, I know that things come up, but 30% of the people decided they didn't and said, we'll come back when you meet on Sundays. Now, that's another spirit, but the Pythonic spirit will try to squeeze people out. Oh, by the way, we had a lease turned down and a purchase offer turned down yesterday. We are looking. God has something for us. Yes. This house has extended the offer to us to stay as long as we want, and they said, we know God has a place and a promise for you. Amen. They're believing with us. I hope you're believing too. The spirit of Python wants to squeeze the work, the life out of a work. It squeezes money matters in people's lives when they give to God. I know when we first gave to the Lord, really started giving, I had this nice job and I had a new PhD, and all of a sudden I went from making $400 a month to making $23,000 a year. That was a big jump. And then the Lord started teaching us out of the Bible. The church we were in did not teach tithing. They did not teach giving. They taught making a pledge. Completely unscriptural, but we made a pledge, and we started reading our Bibles. And the next year we made a pledge, and the next year we made a pledge, and the Lord said, wait a minute. And so we decided we were going to start tithing. And then we lost everything except our house and my job. I mean, I was literally in tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars of debt. And the Lord said, I want you to give me 30% of everything you make. And we were completely out of debt in 7 years. I can't explain it. I can't do the math. It doesn't work. Our accountant said, it makes no sense. But see, as soon as we wanted to honor God and we dedicated everything to him, the Spirit comes in and tries to squeeze. We're going to tell you how to defeat it tonight. The ruling spirit will try to squeeze by putting pressure, oppression, depression, heaviness, division, and discouragement whenever a Pythonic spirit is working. These are literally the fruit of the Pythonic spirit. Heaviness, depression, oppression, and division, discouragement. It will squeeze a church's finances as well as an individual's finance. It squeezes the anointing that you have to try and prevent you from moving into the higher things of God. I think that's why the clarinet prophesied so highly tonight, is because he was calling us promotion. If you notice the progression of the words, we got to let go of the thing that's there. We got to begin to decree the promises he's given us now. That was Sue's word. And then as we enter into that, he will promote us. Money is always involved when the spirit of Python is working against individuals, against their business, against their home finances, and against the church. Money is always involved. It squeezes the finances out of people. For example, by preventing business deals from going through, or by preventing the sale of houses and land, the spirit of Python can keep finances from flowing to and through God's people. On June 23rd, you know, we've been hearing about the transference of wealth for almost two decades now. And it's been increasing and increasing and increasing. On June 23rd, Chuck Pierce prophesied in the middle of a service that in the next 90 days, the world is going to see a transference of wealth unlike they have ever seen before. Doug Edison is also a prophet, and he said that by this fall, I think this was 2 weeks ago, he said by this fall, the church will see wealth that she's never seen before. See, we're on the verge of this thing, and guess what's trying to squeeze the life out of us? See, if I give up and stop pursuing the promise, I don't have a hope of the future. First, Python squeezes the finances out of people's lives and then out of the church because Python wants to be rewarded every time it works. It does not want to squeeze and have nothing to satisfy its belly. In the natural, a python will lay anywhere from 50 to 100 eggs on the ground. They'll find some dry, grassy spot. And the female will coil around those eggs and guard them and warm them for about 2 months before they hatch. Sometimes our enemy is more patient than we are. In the spirit realm, the spirit of Python works with several other spirits, but you'll always find it working with a beguiling spirit, the seducing spirit, and the Jezebel spirit. Yes, that means it's coming against the prophetic. But I got good news for you. God wins. The spirit of Python is usually involved with false prophecy and an over-concern for future events. Now, here's a good scripture for you to learn because it's really short. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Do not worry about tomorrow." If you're constantly worried about something that's going to happen tomorrow or down the road, maybe you just need to turn like Paul did and command that spirit to be gone. Because Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. The rest of it is because each day has enough trouble of its own. If you haven't walked in that, you can come join me. So let's look at divination for a minute. Divination is any superstitious method of trying to discover the course of future events. Any superstitious method of trying to discover the course of future events, whether it's horoscopes, whether it's crystals, whether it's secret lights, whatever you want to call it, it's all divination. In Genesis 44:15, Joseph was talking to his brothers, and the Hebrew word that was used for diviner means to make trial. A diviner makes trial. When the spirit of Python is working against individuals in the church, it is making a trial of you and your work. Will you persevere? It is testing to see whether you will persevere in the thing that God has called you to do. Let me tell you, when the Lord told us to stay here 27 plus years ago, it was difficult. No one in my workplace wanted me to be there. God put me there. It was hard giving up a career. It was an easy decision for Casey and I because we knew the Lord wanted us to stay here. We knew that there was something beyond today, even back then, that he had called us to do in this region. that spirit tried to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Many of you weren't around 27 years ago. How many of you were with us 27 years ago? Then this will be a story you remember. See, putting this message together, I kept telling God, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. How many of you ever done that with the Lord? He says, do this thing. Yeah, I'll do it. Well, it was a Friday evening in May. I could probably tell you the exact day. It was a bright, sunny afternoon, and I was going home to write this message. And I was going to give it on a Thursday night Bible study. I got in my car, and I turned to go north out of the parking lot. And from out of the west, you know, the sun sets in the west, so it wasn't in the eyes of anybody. I'm driving a bright, bright blue Bronco 2. Kind of hard not to see. I'm looking. Maybe it was about the color of Mike's blue in his shirt back there. Probably glistening in the sun. And this young man in a sports car hits my passenger, my driver's side door, turns the car sideways, turns it up on top of its head. How I missed the pregnant lady walking down the sidewalk, I don't know. Angels. And as I was going over, I cried out a real religious prayer. Oh, dear God, I'm about to die. Please save me. No, I cried out the name Jesus, and I'm going to save your ears because they told me not to scream into the mic as loud as I could. And everything went in slow motion. The glass flying by me, everything in slow motion. I was hanging upside down, looking at the floor. And I said, what do I do now, God? And he said, turn off the car. I mean, he was really practical with me. And sure enough, it was running. And I said, what do I do now? He said, take off your seatbelt. Boom, down onto the roof. I said, what do I do now? He said, get your glasses. They were on the other side of the car. And I literally had this conversation with God all in the space of about 45 seconds. I said, what do I do? And he said, go out that door. Later, the rescue people told me that door did not work. Casey can tell you the next day she went to the junkyard. That's about 9 inches. That's how high the roof was above the steering wheel. I had not a single scratch on me. I was not injured at all. I walked up to the young man, put my arm around him, and I was comforting him. When the police and the fire department and the ambulance came, they kept asking everyone where the driver was. They said, you can't be the driver of that. And I said, well, I was. They said, we have to take you to the hospital. And I said, why? And they said, because we have to take you to the hospital. The only injury I had, they bumped my head on the ambulance when they put me in the ambulance. I told the Lord, as I was reading my Gideon Bible in the hospital, waiting for Casey to come pick me up, she could tell you, I called her up and said, I'm okay. She said, what? I said, I'm okay, but I need a ride home. She said, where are you? I said, Park Ridge. As I was reading Psalm 91, I said, Lord, I will write that message tonight. So that's where this message came from. Do you think it was trying to squeeze the life out of me? See, Joseph said to his brothers that he could divine, he could make trial. When the spirit of Python is working against a church, it will try the work that the Lord's called you to do. Did he really call you to work with the youth? No, that's the first thing they asked Casey and I to do when we stayed. If you ever get asked to work with the youth, that means he wants to promote you. Because you learn this generation and that generation, and you get a generational understanding of his kids. That means he's going to use you in the future. In 1 Samuel 28:8, we see people operating by a spirit of Python work with familiar spirits. The operation of the spirit of Python is always an operation of inquiring of someone or something else other than Almighty God. Python will always cause you to go look, well, let's Google it. Well, maybe we should ask God. Let's check out Bing. No, maybe we should ask God. Maybe we should see what they say on Facebook. No, let's go ask God. See, Python will always get you to look someplace else. The operation of the spirit of Python is always accompanied by a disguise, a deceit, and a pretense. See, you do not see the real thing when you're dealing with Python. When Saul put on other raiment, he stepped out of his authority, he stepped out of his mantle, he stepped out of his position of rule. and Saul lowered himself. See, divining will always bring about death, even as it did with Saul. Isn't that what he did? He went to the witch of Endor. First, it's spiritual death, separation from God. And then it's physical death. In Acts chapter 16, verse 17, we see that the spirit of Python comes as an angel of light to deceive. It says it came to us. The slave girl included herself and her masters as a part of the us in this passage. Us was Timothy, us was Silas, us was Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. See, the spirit of Python was working in this young girl to squeeze the life message that Paul had. He was harassing and wearying Paul everywhere they went. Deceit would dictate that it is good to follow me, the slave girl, and us, her masters, and other things. He was trying to deceive. Here's why the spirit of Python was trying to deceive all of the people. Was Paul and his group preaching the truth? Yes. This is the way to salvation. Isn't that what the spirit of Python said? They're telling you the way to be saved? It was identifying with the truth. Was Paul and his group the apostolic authority of that day? Yes. Did Paul, as we talked about in apostolic centers, set up a center and then go establish another one? So Paul was going to set up one in Ephesus and then leave. Here's my good buddy, the spirit of Python, saying, oh, these guys have the real message. Paul's gone. Now, who identified with the real message? Who are the people going to look at later? See, that's how deceit works. It will come and it will identify with something so that when the true leaves, the false can now begin to commit error. There is a spirit of error that works with Python. The Greek translation of the Hebrew statement, the slave girl statement, says that they announced to us the way of salvation. How subtle. That would be like a Satanist standing on the street corner that you're witnessing at and say, listen to them, listen to them. Well, in America, it doesn't matter that much anymore because we've allowed darkness to rule. But once they listen to you, they said, didn't I tell you to listen to them? And then the spirit of error takes the harvest that you just gained, because most of us are only interested in getting them saved, checking off a check belt, but we're not interested in getting them discipled so that they can disciple others. And the enemy takes over. The work or demonic ministry of the spirit of Python is to break down the divine order of authority that God has established in a work, in a home, in a marriage. It attacks the mantle and the calling that God has established. The spirit of Python is always after the head or the leader. Let's see. Mike Burns, Don Lippins, Ron Fess. Do you see its work? Trying to squeeze this body. See if it can undermine the authority of the church, you will see the influence of the spirit of Python working in the lives of the people, and that's what it's trying to do. It ain't going to work. Sorry for my grammar. The Pythonic spirit uses continuous diversionary tactics to divert attention away from God, away from what God is doing, or away from a problem or situation that God wants to deal with. God dealt with a situation tonight. It will be resolved. Jealousy, strife, competitive spirits, and a lack of communication and a lack of support for the leadership of the work of God accompany the spirit of Python. I am thankful for those of you who are fervent in prayer. A spirit of confusion works with the spirit of Python to try and squeeze the life out of your mind. Remember, we said that the Greek mythology said that there was this fog Fog usually speaks of confusion when you're trying to interpret prophetic symbols. So if you see confusion and chaos, you're usually seeing witchcraft and things associated with Python. The Greek word for confusion literally means tumult and unquietness. Constantly we see that people under the influence of the Pythonic spirit are not at rest and have trouble resting. They have trouble entering into the Sabbath. Maybe we all ought to check and see if we honor the Sabbath. See, this is counter to what God has given us. He says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by him, Romans 14:17-18. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, we see, but God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. In Acts 16:18, we see the word grief associated with the spirit of Python. The Greek word used here means every evil work. Well, when I have things that grieve me, it's usually because of an evil work. When the spirit of Python is working, there will be sorrowful, depressing, and oppressive spirits hanging around. It took Paul many days to discern what was coming against them. At least that's the picture we get. He may have known right away, but he may not have heard Jesus say, command it to be gone. But as we read the account, unless we take that into consideration, it took Paul, the apostle, many days to discern this thing. We're not dealing with some little small-level demon that exposes itself every time you worship. In Acts 16:19, it says that her masters, see, there's always going to be a controlling and manipulative spirit around when there's a spirit of Python. The good news is you can do just what Paul did. You can command the spirit of Python to come out in the name of Jesus. Is God a respecter of persons? I'm glad. Thank you. Do you have the same Holy Spirit Paul had?
Yes.
So you've got the same authority over every spirit that Paul had, that Jesus had. Don't ask them to leave. Do not ask God to do it for you. Oh, dear God, there's a spirit of Python there. Would you send an angel? He said, no, I sent my son. He shed his blood. You do it. See, you're his ambassador. Use the authority of the name of Jesus. In Acts 16:20, the spirit of Python claims to own cities. If you look at it, it says our city. You also see this in Acts 17:6, talking about Thessalonica. And it also claims to own nations. We see this in Acts 19:26. Do you see it squeezing our nation? In Acts 16:21, the spirit of Python observes the customs of men other than the ways of God. Isn't that what's happening in Congress? Isn't that what's happening in Albany? Isn't that what's happening in the White House? Isn't that what's happening in the Supreme Court? They're looking at the laws of other nations rather than our Constitution they were sworn to uphold. In Acts 19:28, we see that they were full of wrath. When the spirit of Python is at work, there will always be a spirit of anger working. It will flare up at any moment when people are caught off guard and they lose their cool. In Acts 16:25-32, we're told that when we turn to God, he will demonstrate his power. Isn't that nice? Anytime you call on his name, he'll demonstrate his power on your behalf. In Acts 16:34, we see that there was great sharing and rejoicing. See, this is just the opposite of the situation when the spirit of Python is working. At those times, there will be isolation. There will be pockets or groups or cliques. There won't be fellowship or communion. Essentially, there will be no real caring for other members of the congregation. We have literally seen the spirit take a 600-member church down to 25. slowly over 3 years because they did not want to fight the spiritual warfare. In 1 Chronicles 10, 13 through 14, we see that operating by a spirit of Python is a transgression against God. You know, there are Christians who operate by a spirit of Python. That's why he's given us the gift of discerning of spirits. So we can tell, is this thing from God? Is this thing from man? Or is this thing from hell? The breaking of covenants with God and with one another is always involved in the working of a Pythonic spirit. And the last 40 years, we've gone from very low divorce rates to over 50% in our nation. Breaking of covenants. It's one of the sins that defiles the land. Not just the people, but the land itself. In 1 Samuel 9, verse 16, we see that Saul was anointed to be captain over the people to lead them in victory against the Philistines. Now Saul was facing the Philistines and he was afraid. When the spirit of Python is working, you will always see people begin to operate in fear, to question their call, to question their anointing, to question what God created them to do. In Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 8, we see that weakness of heart and spirit are present when the spirit of Python operates. People become weary. Now let's just be honest, how many of us are weary? But God. People will begin to question their call. They will question their position. They will question their vision as the spirit of Python tries to squeeze that vision out of them. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." God has given us victory over the operation of the spirit of Python. In Leviticus 19:31, we see that when a spirit of Python is working, there is always a defiling or a defilement. We need to get down on our face before God and repent of the defilement in the work. Sometimes our doubt and unbelief defile what God has given us to do, and that Pythonic spirit just gloms right onto that little seed of doubt and begins to squeeze hope out of us. As we begin to repent and begin to break the hold of the Pythonic spirit off of our lives and ministries, we begin to see the victory of God break through on our behalf. He's just looking for us to believe him and take that step, because the blood of Jesus has already defeated every host of hell. When the spirit of Python is at work, you will see lies rising up and you'll see false witnesses. There will be an illegal taking of the land. Most of the land in the United States was taken illegally from the First Nations that were here. Most of the land in Canada was taken illegally. Most of the land in the earth was taken illegally. Don't have time to go into it, but it was done by the order of the Pope. Most of our laws were set up on that same order called the Doctrine of Discovery. If there wasn't a Christian king, you can take that land from anyone you want in my name. The Portuguese did it, the Spanish did it, and the British did it. The rest is history, and we need to repent and break that. When there's the illegal taking of land, as you know from the story of Naboth's vineyard, and King Ahab, you see a spirit of Jezebel present. There will always be murder involved. There will always be injustice when these spirits are operating. As a result, generational curses are one of the fruits of the Jezebel spirit. And that's what we're seeing in every land where we have not repented and made right with our forefathers in the land. We are actively a part of that in this body and in this region. In 2 Kings 17:17, you'll observe the selling of oneself to work evil. and you will see manipulation and control, and you'll see idolatry. See, we're to respect the anointing of God, but we don't worship or idolize the person that has the anointing. The church, the body of Christ, has done that for far too long. That is done. God is taking away the superstars, and he's making us all his ambassadors. Amen? In 2 Kings 9:7 and verse 22, we see whoredoms and witchcraft operating when the spirit of Python is working. In 2 Kings 9, verse 30, we see ridicule and mockery are present when the spirit of Python operates. Isn't that what most of the press is doing today? If you stand for anything righteous, you're ridiculed and mocked. Guess what's behind that? In Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 and 20, John is taking dictation from Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to the church in Thyatira. See, this church allowed Jezebel to teach and seduce God's servants to fornicate and to eat food sacrificed to idols. We see that also in Acts chapter 15, verses 28 and 29, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. See, this is counter to the original word of God, and it brings about spiritual adultery. And that's the condition that's true in the local body of Christ. There is much spiritual adultery in the church in this region. See, the beguiling spirit works with the Jezebel spirit to pull people away from a dedicated walk with God. We are in an hour in time where God is calling us to be holy as he is holy. He's calling those who are holy to separate themselves just as Jesus separated himself. Jesus walked with sinners. He ate with prostitutes. He drank with publicans. But he did not allow defilement. He separated himself unto Father. And so can we. That's the pattern. That's the model. That's what God is asking us to do. See, just as in the natural realm, when Python wraps itself around multiple young snakes, you can see the spirit of Python coiled around multiple demonic forces that control people's lives. You know how it coils itself around those eggs to hatch them in the natural, and they spring out and these little snakes are running around. That's the picture of all those other demonic strongmen and powers that are associated with Python. Through the precious blood of Jesus, we have victory over the spirit of Python. God has given us keys to the kingdom, binding, also known as forbidding, loosing, also known as permitting. We can forbid the spirit of Python to work by the power of our words and the power of his blood. Here's how you defeat a spirit of Python. You speak to it authoritatively with the word, and you take your sword of the spirit and you rip its belly open. How does a python work? Through the strength of its coils. When you cut its stomach muscles in the natural, it has no power. You can stab it, but unless you slit it, you can't do two things. You can't kill it, and you can't steal its spoil. See, God doesn't want you to just defeat this thing. He wants you to take back everything that it has stolen from his kingdom progressing. Most of us are comfortable with just, I can breathe again, and having it cut off of us, but there's something more Father wants to do. He wants all of the treasure that it's taken from you and everybody else to be released back. See, that's what we're on the verge of. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, that means healings, miracles, and financially. That's what we're on the verge of. So when this thing comes against you, you speak to it authoritatively in the name and by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the sword of the Spirit and you sever its coils. It then has no strength. Then you begin to worship. Because once you've been set free, you've got to maintain your house, individually and collectively. You maintain your house by worship, by speaking the word of the Lord. So I don't sing good or well. Speak the word of the Lord. That's worship. If you sing the word of the Lord, that's worship. If he gives you a song in tongues, that's worship. That's probably the best worship because the devil can't mess with what Holy Spirit gives you. Father expects his sons and daughters to walk victorious over the enemy by using every tool that Jesus gave us. His blood, his word, his name, and worship. Father expects us to use those. Binding and loosing. Everything Jesus gave us, he says, they're your weapons. Let me ask you, are you willing to plant the mustard seed of faith? It only takes that much. Do you see that little seed on the bottom of the sheet Pauline gave us a little over a month ago? That much, and it becomes this huge. If I will plant what God gives me in faith, he'll amplify it. Will you stand in God's word and see the branches of Jesus' authority in every area of your life? See, he desires his life to flow through you. That's what abiding in the vine means. You carry the life that's in Christ. See, the choice is yours. As you walk in the ways of God and the power of his Spirit in you, you will place the defeated enemy under your feet. Father told Paul in Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Father tells us in Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Jesus told us in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, python, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will harm you. Let's stand. How many of you want to get rid of that thing? Are you willing to be foolish with me before Jesus? First, repent of anything that allowed Python in your life. It's real simple. Father, I repent of anything that gave Python authority in my life. See, the enemy will tell you, you got to have this long list. That's the tyranny of the urgent. I got to go make the list. See, you just opened up the way for Jesus' blood to be applied. Now, Jesus, I apply your blood to my life, my marriage, my family, my businesses, and my church. I thank you that by the power of your blood, you have set me free. Lord, I thank you that you have given me your word, the sword of the Spirit. I cut the coil of weariness. I cut the coil of deceit. I cut the coil of divination. I cut the coil of lies. I cut the coil that attempts to steal, kill, and destroy. I sever the strength of that python that has wrapped itself around me. And I say that by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am set free. I break the bonds of those coils off me now. For those of you who didn't, fling your arms out. That is a prophetic act. See, what it does is it tries to keep you like this. You're broken off. I throw them under my feet. And I thank you that you said, the God of peace crushes Satan under my feet. Jesus, you said it. It is finished.
It is finished.
Amen.
Amen.
It is literally that quick every day to stand against this thing. As soon as it starts to wrap its coil, it's a lot easier to get it there than when it's got you like this. Just begin to worship. Use the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the blood of the Lord. Father, I send my brothers and sisters to the places where you've called them to unravel every manifestation of Python working against what you have called them to do. I say, Lord, you called them to be fruitful and to multiply, and I say that Python shall no longer steal the harvest or the fruit of their labors. I say, Lord, you called them to be investors and stewards in your kingdom, and they shall see your return even 100-fold. I say, Lord, that everything that has been whispered against them, I now vanquish. And I say, Lord, that even the thing that attempts to weary them and tear them down, I say that that is defeated and destroyed because you said that you came to give us life and life abundantly. Lord, I send them this week to bear fruit that will bring glory to your name. Let it be so. Amen and amen. I love you all. Stay in fellowship.